Tonight, Coca opens a production of Memphis, a musical based on one of the first white DJs to play black music in the 1950s. Memphis played on Broadway for almost 3 years and won 4 Tonys, including Best Musical. Contributor Steve Potter has more on the musical, which tells the story of how rock and roll brought people together.
I listen to advice from folks smarter than me. And I ignored it. I listened to hatred from folks richer than me. And I deplored it. I listened to music from folks darker than me.
Memphis is loosely based on the story of a disc jockey who was on the air in the 1950s and how he used rock and roll to bring people together. Joining us now, please welcome Dwayne Foster. He's directing. Philip Woodmore is the music director, and cast member Jeremy Clay, all here, and welcome to you all.
Thank
Hello.
You.
Thank you.
Dwayne, go back to 2014 and talk a little bit about that place and time, how theater and life crossed paths for you and a lot of other people back there, and how that sort of sets this whole thing up.
Well, you know, Coca is always on the cutting edge of presenting very relevant theatrical productions. And 2 years ago, I had the honor to sit in the audience and watch their production of Ragtime, which starred Phil Woodmore as well as Jeremy Clay. And who would have known that just a month after Ragtime closed, you know, Ragtime deals with diversity at the turn of the century. And a month after the closing, Ferguson happened. And as a director and as a teacher, I was so comforted knowing that those kids had the opportunity to go through that, I call it like a workshop, so to speak, on how to deal with race relations in the United States. So I imagine that they approached Ferguson with many different perspectives, but very healthy perspectives. And then here we go again 2 years later, dealing with what we're having in this country with the diversity issues and with so much racial tension, and with the campaign, the election year, things coming out of certain candidates' mouth in regards to race. And here we have Memphis that's dealing with diversity again, but celebrating diversity.
Just briefly, Philip, and I would like to hear from you too, Jeremy. What do you remember back about that Ragtime experience mixed with what was happening in Ferguson?
It was a very interesting time for me. I did a lot of theater when I was in middle and high school, and a lot of my collegiate career was actually focused on music. I did just a music degree for undergrad and a music education for a master's. So going on stage with Ragtime and getting to be on stage again was a very magical moment to share this story that Dwayne was talking about and its importance. And it was very interesting to reflect on how powerful that was when all that Ferguson stuff went down and the meaning of that.
Jeremy?
Well, Ragtime was actually my first full-length musical production. And so when I was a part of Ragtime, I was kind of just in it to be a dancer and just support every part of the musical aspect. And then as we went along with the process, I started to understand more about the music and its connection to race and to just the different problems and the different things that were happening back in that time frame and how it kind of mirrored what was going on in 2014.
And Dwayne, in addition to the Ragtime incident that you just talked about, you're also the fine arts coordinator for the Normandy School Collaborative, and you also direct the choir there.
Yes.
So being in Normandy, which, by the way, is where Michael Brown graduated from.
Exactly.
Are these issues something that, I guess, you deal with every day?
Well, I would say that initially after the whole situation went down, it was something that the kids, you can kind of sense that there was a need to talk about it and a need to really come to some resolution on why it happened and what is to come out of it. But I think that the healthy part of and how we handle the students we moved forward with pushing not just curriculum, but just the whole concept of these things happen in our lives, and that how you rise from it is will basically be, I guess, the courageous part of being a human being.
Uh-huh. Well, we're talking about Coca's production of Memphis, and I thought this was interesting, that the first amateur production of Memphis was at the Illinois High School Theater Festival at the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign. That's interesting. How did you first find it?
Oh, I was sitting at Coca. I took a student to a ballet class, and Phil Woodmore, the musical director at Coca, well, the vocal coordinator at Coca, came down the hallway and saw me sitting there, and he pointed at me. He's like, "Are you available?" And basically I said yes. And I had friends in the original Broadway company, so I had seen it a lot.
You play Del Rey, Jeremy. Who is Del Rey?
Del Rey Farrell is the brother to Felicia Farrell. He also owns the nightclub that is based underground in Memphis.
All right, let's talk about that then. We're talking about Memphis, the 1950s. So maybe you should explain who Dewey Phillips was.
Dewey Phillips was a DJ who basically was one of the first ones to start playing R&B style music. And he was located in the center of the radio dial. So the most popular station was in the middle. So this was basically beaming out to white Memphis. And it was an interesting situation where the younger generation really took to the music, and the parents, you know, had to struggle with that. But it basically brought in that idea of integration, and many concerts that he put on basically were integrated.
So I guess he is the real person that the character Huey Calhoun is based on. And Memphis opens with a party scene. It's some kind of black club. Are you there?
Yes, I'm actually leading the song Underground, and it's the opening number in Memphis. Uh-huh. And it's just all of the African Americans were having such a good time, and it's just a big party, and everybody's just, it's kind of like our sanctuary. It's kind of like our own church, and we have like our own type of freedom, stress, and everything relieved.
So Memphis opens, and this is the party at the club. And we're talking about Coca's production of Memphis with Jeremy Clay, Philip Woodmore, and Dwayne Foster. Well, I can see why the kids like the music.
Oh, yes.
So this is the Del Rey's Club, and it's a rock and roll bar in 1950s Memphis. And this Huey Calhoun, he's a white guy, and he walks in, and Jeremy, what's the reaction?
We're all kind of confused. We're like, why is he coming down here? Why is he singing our music? Why is he just in our atmosphere? This is where we are family, and we're just trying to figure out why this outsider is just coming in.
And is it a good thing?
Well, the interesting thing about Huey coming into that club is that he feels comfortable coming in initially. And then once he gets there, he's drawn to the club because he's hearing the voice of Felicia. That's what's really pulling him there. Felicia Farrell.
Which is Del Rey's sister.
Del Rey's sister. And he wants to see if she's as beautiful as she sounds.
Well, he must, because he's interested in her, isn't he?
He's very much interested in her.
And does that cause any talk?
It causes a bunch of talk, not only just from the main characters, but the ensemble and the characters in the background. We all are just kind of confused on why he's all of a sudden just here and just in our atmosphere.
I don't want to give away too much of the plot, Dwayne. So he comes in and he makes his presence known in this club, and they end up sort of accepting him.
Well, that's the power of the music, and that's the emergence of rock and roll, because it's a clashing of different cultures. So not only are you seeing this racial, interracial relationship developing, but you also see the music developing as well.
But somehow he gets, I don't know if I'm skipping over a lot, the DJ gets on a radio station, and remember, this is the 1950s, he starts to play some music by black artists.
Oh, yes.
And that's like, I mean, that's not, the management is freaking out.
But he doesn't have control over it. Well, he has control over it, but the community doesn't have control because the children are drawn to it. I mean, almost like in a hypnotic fashion. And the parents can't deny them that music.
Philip, talk a little bit about the cast, because it's an interesting range of ages and all sorts of things.
Yeah. Well, Coca has done a fantastic job over the year. This is the 12th year of our summer musicals. We started with a production of The Boyfriend. It was one performance. We used handheld mics. I played the piano, and we had one night only. And we've grown to this style production at the Edison Theater, reaching out to about 40 students all across the St. Louis area, also reaching out to some from the greater St. Louis and the Illinois area. We go down with cast members from 13 to 14 up through college age this year. So we have a gentleman that's going to be a senior next year in college. We have students like Jeremy that have come in as alumni of COCA. So it's a very wide range of ages in the production.
Jeremy, tell me about the choreographer that you've been working with and what that experience has been like.
Christopher Page is an amazing choreographer. He's not only done the choreography for the musicals at COCA, but he's also done the legacy performances, which are partnered with COCA Dance, which is like a modern jazz-based company. And Chris is very excited about everything. So every time he comes in, it's always this and this and this and this and that. And it always kind of sets us up on our feet. And he's just amazing.
You bring up a good point, Jeremy. And Dwayne, I'd like you to address it. What the energy sort of is among the cast. I mean, I guess the cast is always united for any production, but maybe a little more so on this one just because.
Well, it's also the rehearsal process. You know, we start off with a 2-week boot camp. Chris Page comes in and it's an intensive 2 weeks of choreography. And I think that immediately links them to the process as well as to the meaning behind the musical. And once we get into the meat and grit of it, we start tackling the emotions and the acting and the singing, and we bring it all together.
Let's hear something else from Memphis, and please set it up for us. Colored Woman.
Colored Women is just such a fantastic moment in the show where Felicia is able to really stand in her truth and share with the audience what it is like to live in that period. And she takes the stage to share this message just on her own after an interaction with Huey and Huey's mother.
We're talking about Memphis, and so Huey Calhoun, the white DJ, has gone down to the club and he's meeting people down there. He gets on the radio, he plays black musicians' music, he almost gets fired. He encourages white people to go to black churches, and they start doing it. What are, just very briefly, a couple other little highlights, points in the story that you'd like to make?
Oh my goodness, there are many. I think one that stands out, I don't want to give too much away, but, you know, just the whole idea that there is this secret relationship between Huey and Felicia that's kept secret within the black community.
Because this is an interracial relationship.
Yes, and but it gets out into the public, and so there's a consequence for that that is very unfortunate. And the ending of our first act, I must say, is a clarion call for peace, and it's just so beautiful.
Philip, a final thought?
I just have to say that I have thoroughly enjoyed pulling together such creativity. Working with Dwayne, the collaboration has been fantastic. And getting to inspire these children, that's one of my life missions, is to inspire children through the arts. And to see the work that they're going to be able to put on stage. Jeremy is taking on his first lead role here that is going to be an introduction to the community as a person, an actor on stage. And so many others in the cast that have taken ownership for their parts. So this is going to be an amazing production.
And Jeremy, you're a young guy, I'm just guessing, in your 20s.
Yes.
Somewhere like that. So my last question for you, here you are playing a young black guy in 1950s Memphis. So I don't know. It must make you pause and think.
Yes, I have a lot of moments where I have to sit back and think about who I would be, what color outfit I'll be wearing, what light I'm in, where exactly I'm standing, the thought process that my character would be going through, because there's a certain point in time where I'm just not Jeremy when I'm going on stage. I have to become Del Rey. And when I walk off the stage, am I still Del Rey? Am I still Jeremy when I go into the dressing room?
But it must make you reflect sometimes.
Yes, it makes me reflect on so many aspects, just on my life and just as the character, and how it can influence both me in my real life and when I'm on stage.
That was Jeremy Clay, who plays the role of Del Rey in Coca's production of Memphis, speaking with Steve Potter. He also spoke with the production's music director, Philip Woodmore, and director, Dwayne Foster. Memphis takes the stage tonight at 7 and tomorrow at 2 and 7 in Washington University's Edison Theater. More information is available at stlpublicradio.org/stlonair. St. Louis on the Air is produced by Mary Edwards, Alex Hoyer, and Kelly Moffitt, with production assistance from Aaron Dorr, Kim Oswalt, and Spencer Reed. The executive producer is Robert Peterson. Arts and culture programming on St. Louis on the Air is funded in part by the Arts and Education Council of Greater St. Louis, the Regional Arts Commission, and the Missouri Arts Council, a state agency. St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. Thank you for listening. I'm Don Marsh.